Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, and, of course, what the... I shouldn't call them idiots in Washington, but those people in Washington, what they're doing, I mean, it is just bizarre. I mean, nobody has any... we'll talk about that in just a little bit on this Friday, October 11th, 2013. We're also going to be talking what we didn't get to yesterday, the rich getting richer. And, of course, we're going to talk about nuclear power plants closing. And we're also going to be talking about the continuing saga of the debt ceiling. And we're going to talk a little bit about J.P. Morgan Chase. Lots of things to talk about today. But before we get to those, we're going to look at the gold prices today. Al, you and I were wrong. This is the first time I've been wrong in a very long time. And
no, this is the first time you've admitted you were wrong.
No.
Oh, it's, I pay attention. I keep notes on this sort of thing. I have a file.
No, you
understand? This is the first time. This is...
What, are you the government? Keeping
no,
files?
No, I'm not, but I do this. I'm just conducting a survey.
No.
You know, it is simply nature. My experience, it's the nature of women. They will never admit when they were wrong. They're going to throw you out of the union here if you don't watch your step.
That might be true about a woman, but I'm not as a businesswoman. Two totally different things. And as a businesswoman, my record is very good. But today, a little more pressure on gold, although it is coming back a little bit. Gold is down $15.80 at $12.71. We have silver down 36 cents at $21.42. Not so bad. Platinum down 12 bucks at $13.77. And palladium, that's actually up. Why? I don't have any idea why that would be up. Maybe they just didn't want to throw any money at palladium today, so it was able to move up. Maybe the real market moved it up $4 at $716. The USDX today is trading slightly down by 10 points at 80.38.
Tenth of a point.
I said 0.10.
No, you said 10 points. See, this is where I keep track of these things. I told you, I'm keeping track.
If I was in Dallas, here. I'd smack
you. Uh-huh. I thought maybe you'd sit the dog on me.
Yeah, I might do that.
Yeah, right. Have me put me in charge of taking care of the dog.
Ruby Grace, crude oil today is down 1.18 at 101.83, and I probably did say 0.10. So, and you have the paper markets today. Oh, they did snap a two-week losing streak. Big deal. You had the Dow. Oh, and they managed it up in the last half hour of trading, up 111 points at 15,237. You had the NASDAQ up 31 at 37.91, along with the S&P up 10 at 17.03. The 10-year yield, again, between the 2.60 and 2.7, holding at 2.68. What?
I'm just looking at a comment from
it's
our
Friday,
producer.
It's Friday. I'm feisty, and let's move on.
I'm in kind of a good mood. You understand? And things strike me as amusing. I am amused by our predicaments. I'm not disturbed by them. I just find them amusing. And in fact,
but I have gold, so I'm not disturbed. I'm disturbed at how they...
the irrationality of it all.
How they've ruined, and they continue, and issues are not being brought to the table. Hmm. And I'm disturbed by that.
You see, that's where you're making your mistake. Here, we've got an article here, no quick deal, but offer by GOP on debt shifts the tone. That's the headline from the New York Times. You see, it's all about tone. You're worried about content. You're worried about, you know, the reality. And as this says, this headline is making clear, or at least implying, it's all about the tone. See, Melody? Here it says, President Obama and House Republicans failed to reach agreement on a six-week extension of the nation's borrowing authority during a meeting Thursday at the White House. But two sides kept talking in statements afterwards that struck the most positive tone in weeks of acrimony. Republicans, they offered to make a settlement, and Obama said it was useful in production conversation, and the White House described a good meeting and so on. It's all about the tone, Melody. It's not about the reality. If we just all, what we're going to do under Obamacare, we are going to give everybody free shots of Botox. That means there'll be no more frowny faces, Melody. Mm-mm. Even if you're thinking about things, you're not going to have any frown lines in your forehead if things seem a little irrational, if they seem a little contrary to reason and to the national interest. It won't matter. You won't have any frown lines. Plus, not just Botox, we're going to throw in a free cosmetic surgery for everyone in the country where we can all have a permanent smile. We'll be able to smile even when you're at the dentist and he's drilling into your teeth. You won't need any anesthetic. You'll still keep smiling. Because if Americans keep smiling, then we'll all be smiling, and it'll be the happiest country in the world. Well, the point I'm trying to make is, yesterday, they alleged that because they thought there might be a settlement of this conflict in Washington, the Dow went up 300 points. That explained the rise yesterday. Mm-hmm. And today, even though there's not going to be a settlement, we still have a 100 to 120-point rise. And why? Because we have a positive tone. You get that, Melody? You understand? You've been taking this, been looking at the facts of the situation. It's all about the style, the appearance. That's what it's all about. Well, I'm being facetious, sarcastic, or whatever, and I agree that the whole place has become irrational. But, you reach a point where you get a certain amount of undertaker's humor. You know, you can't look at too many dead bodies. Initially, you see dead bodies, and they, oh, my God, this is terrible. Eventually, you get to a point where you just kind of laugh about it. Sometimes I get that undertaker's humor when I look at what's happening in our economy and what the government is doing. And this is one of those days, Melody.
Yes, it is. It is one of those days. And again, no rhyme or reason. And I wouldn't expect, who knows? I mean, they do have the power to do what they want to do. And if the whole economy is based on if the stock market is based on tone, people who have papers should be scared to death.
Well,
and they should be running from it like it was a fire.
I understand. The whole thing is just, it's just irrational. It's crazy. It's like, my God, what fools these mortals be. And in fact, we will get, that'll be one of our themes today.
You know,
we're going to talk about stupid is as stupid does. And we're going to talk a little about that before the program is
done. I just want to make this one comment. I get asked, when do you think gold and silver will rise? When do you think gold and silver will rise? And I get asked a lot, where is it, you know, how far, you know, is it going to drop much lower? Is it a good time to buy? I think the downside risk to gold is far less risky than to the upside. I think this is a terrific time to be buying. We could see a little bit of correction, you know, to the downside, a few dollars, but I don't think it'll maintain these levels for very long. I think we should be thankful that the prices are where they are today, because it gives folks an opportunity to get in there at this level. Because all that we talk about on this program, all that we face, from the Obamacare to everything else, you cannot tell me the fundamentals for anything has changed. They have just continually corroded into something far worse than not owning gold and silver. So, folks, if you don't have it, now's the time to get it. And don't let these short-term moves in gold and silver affect your decision to purchase gold or silver.
Yeah, but you know, there's a correction here. It's short-term moves in paper gold is what we're watching right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really these markets do not reflect the price of physical gold. People are trading physical gold as if it should be the same price as paper gold, but what we're seeing in the market, there are reportedly about 99 ounces of paper gold traded for each ounce of physical gold that's traded. It means these markets are in fact measuring the price of paper gold. Paper gold it's a promise to pay. It's an illusion. It's like fiat dollars. It's not real. And when you look at it from that perspective, it's not necessarily true that the price of gold is going down. What's true is the price of paper gold is going down, as paper gold inevitably must. But sooner or later, in my opinion, just like paper dollars, it's a fiat gold. It's not real gold. They're trading 99 ounces of paper gold. People are taking pieces of paper and swapping them back and forth. And they say, I will pay you $1,300 or $1,200 or $1,270 for a piece of paper, a piece of paper gold. And the other guy says, no, I got to have $1,280. And they haggle about what the price of the paper gold is. But it's not physical gold that's being traded. Paper gold. And it makes a certain amount of sense that people would want to get out of paper gold if we are coming to the end of this insanity. Some people are maybe seeing this and say, I got to get rid of that paper. This thing's going to blow up in my face. I got to get rid of my paper. As a result, price of paper gold is falling. That's for sure. The question is, should the price of physical gold reflect the price of paper gold? And I'd say the answer is absolutely not. And the next question is, how long then will the public continue to associate the price of paper gold with the price of physical gold? And that's an unknown. But the time is coming, and it's not so far away, when we are going to begin to see markets that deal in physical gold only, not in paper gold. And at that point in time, we're going to begin to discover what the price of physical gold is. Right now, that price is unknown. People assume that physical and paper are equal, but it's absolutely, you stop to think about it, that must not be true. And if you think about it, if paper gold and physical gold don't have the same price, is physical gold worth less or worth more than paper gold? And the answer is obvious to anyone who considers the question for more than maybe 60 seconds. Absolutely true, the price of physical gold must be greater than the price of paper gold. It's just absolute, it's got to be that way. Now, how much greater remains to be seen. But I just want to make the point that all we're looking at in these markets is a fall in the price of paper gold. We don't know what the real price of physical gold is, and it's a virtual certainty that whatever it is higher than the price of paper gold. More, when paper gold collapses, price of physical gold will at least remain and will probably skyrocket. So, ta-da.
So it's a great buying opportunity.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Don't listen to these financial planners and every mainstream media program that talks finances and that try to talk you out of your gold. You don't want paper gold. You want the real gold. You
exactly.
want the physical gold.
And reason this is a great buying opportunity is people like Melody are selling physical gold. You can't get paper gold from Melody. You get paper gold from New York City in the markets. You can't get paper gold from Melody. She's selling physical gold at paper gold prices. She's getting the gold from distributors and so on, and they're all the system is geared that way right now, but it's like being able to purchase property with Confederate money. Okay? The Confederate money really doesn't have that much value anymore. But if you could use it to buy land or homes or gold coins, that would be a heck of a deal. To some degree, something similar is happening right now. You have an opportunity to purchase physical gold at paper gold prices. This is an extraordinary buying opportunity. It's confusing. It's complex. You got to think about it for a while in your mind and see if you agree that that's a correct analysis. But I think after you consider it for a while, you say, wait. I can get an ounce of physical gold for the price of paper gold? This is an extraordinary opportunity. And those of you who take advantage of it will and have the patience to wait until this illusion, this irrationality is eliminated. You're going to do very, very well. And those of us who continue to confuse paper gold with physical gold, there's going to be a problem.
Stupid is as stupid does.
Well, that's true. We'll get into that a little bit more. I don't know if we want to do that right now. It's a relatively long segment. Why don't we save that for the second part of the program? But we could do a little bit, Are the Rich Getting Richer?
All right.
Here's an article from the Daily Ticker. More proof that the rich are getting richer and the poor poorer. The rich are getting even richer. The top 1% control 46% of the world's assets, and 86% of global wealth is owned by the richest 10%. Yet two-thirds of the world's adults have less than $10,000. You know, when you look at it from that perspective, we are all most of us are relatively wealthy. A lot of people who think they're poor in this country, if you have more than $10,000 in assets, you have more than two-thirds of the people on the face of the earth. These numbers compiled by the Swiss Bank Credit Suisse in its latest World Wealth Report underscores that income equality has become an international crisis. Millionaires are experiencing an even better time now than before the financial crisis. Overall, global wealth has more than doubled since 2000, reaching a new all-time high of $241 trillion. Right? This goes to more of this craziness, more of this insanity. Has the wealth of the world actually doubled? Huh? Is that what's happened? Or is it only the debt that's doubled? What part of the 200, the extra, what part of this all new high of $241 trillion is composed of paper illusions rather than tangible wealth? And the answer is more than likely most of it. They don't say, but that's got to be that is probably the question. Swiss Credit Suisse projects wealth for those in the bottom percentile will steadily fall over the next 60 years. They said percentile. They mean percentiles. The rich are going to get richer, and the poor are going to get poorer, and that's going to be a trend around the world. And what that indicates is we are coming into time that is extraordinarily stressful, extraordinarily competitive, extraordinarily harsh. And if you want to be among those who prosper, you can't spend your time watching Dancing with the Stars. You're going to have to actually start to crack some books. You're going to have to do some of your own thinking. You're going to have to find a way to chart through what will become increasingly difficult times, increasingly hazardous waters, and or in order to protect yourself, your own prosperity, and that of your family. you're going to have to start to take responsibility for your own wealth. You can't just believe other people. You've got to do your own thinking. You're going to have to make decisions and recognize that you will be responsible for those decisions. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm not absolutely certain. I hear Melody saying, ouch, just before the program, and Melody may be accompanied by her new dog, and I'm not sure if that's what made you say ouch or not, but has the dog announced that I'm back, come up and bit you on the ankle or something like that again? Is that what happened?
Close. Oh, yes, we have a new office dog, Ruby Grace. She's our new protector. And Yep.
And
so she goes everywhere.
She's a new protector, though. Yeah. That's the question.
She goes to the office and back to the – she sits into the broadcast room, and, yeah, so she's everywhere. I want to give folks just a reminder to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coins. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we do archive these programs here. We're going to go back. I think we're going to go back for a year on the program. So if you get lonely one night and you want to listen to some old programs, you can do that by going to the website. We got a.
It's kind of like Burns and Allen. It's kind of like a modern day version of Burns and Allen. It's a.
Burns and Allen. Oh, great. AC Allen. Yeah. Well, Ruby, we got Ruby Grace. This question, this is not a question, but he listened to yesterday's program. He says, you and Alfred were so on target yesterday, as always. But he also wanted to agree with what was said about bone loss and boron. He uses boron not only for his osteoporosis patients, but any joint problems. Boron stops bone loss by 40% in its track immediately. And the worst drugs are those that are promoted for bone loss, Boniva, Fosamax, and I think everybody's seen those commercials on television. And, you know, they make big money on those drugs. And when they make their money, they just move on to the next one. And in the meantime, people are getting sicker and sicker. And
well, you know, if there's drugs, if they're selling drugs that actually aggravate the problem they are allegedly helping to solve, that's not just fraud. That's criminal act. I mean, fraud is criminal, but it goes beyond fraud. If there is medical care out there that's actually contrary to our interests, our health interests, but is conducive to making more profits by aggravating the problem rather than resolving it, somebody needs to be jailed, and not for a couple of evenings, couple of afternoons, or a couple of weekends. Somebody needs to go to jail for the next 20 years, maybe more than that. But
what's bad, Al, is the American people subsidize the world's medications. We're the ones that pay, you know, $30 a tablet. I mean, the prices that they charge. I mean, we're the ones that get charged, and you know, so they can do some little R&D, which is usually probably subsidized by the government. I mean, it's just like it. So if there is a pill that really does help people, we get way overcharged for it.
Well, the reason, of course, is because our government has been bought and paid for by special interests,
absolutely,
including the pharmaceutical industry. And what the pharmaceutical industry does is they come to Washington and they say, look, we have a proposed law. And if they give Washington, the Congress, enough money, Congress will broker that law. They don't legislate it. They don't write it. They don't even read it. They enact the law based on how much they've got, how much political campaign contributions, what secret stock tips, whatever. One way or another, they are compensated to broker the law rather than legislate the law. They don't even read the laws. All they know, and what the pharmaceutical industry does, is pass a law that will either restrict competition or restrict their tax liabilities or restrict their liabilities in court based on selling these laws, selling a particular new drug. And all it does is generate more profit for the pharmaceutical companies at the expense of the American people. It's a racket, and your government, your Congress, your president is complicit. Both parties are complicit in this racket. They'll sell the pills of what they might bring in the free market. They'll do that overseas. But here, where they have American people that are held captive by the people in government, by the Congress, by the White House, by the federal courts. Well, as long as we're captive, we're going to pay through the nose for things that can be sold overseas at reasonable prices. Maybe they're good, maybe they're bad, but at least the prices are reasonable. Here they're not. And it goes to a corrupt Congress and an insane political campaign contribution law system.
He goes on to say, as for the debt, you two are always on key. His sickness insurance now costs $2,390 a quarter, or $9,560 a year. He says he knows the cost will be hiking straight up maybe by next quarter. He doesn't know. Behind taxes, this cost is his second most highest, and he anticipates if the law isn't abolished that the cost will surpass the taxes he pays just for income. Once the government gets their money by extortion for insurance and the law perhaps is abolished, he doesn't foresee much of a decrease for the premiums. Once they can get that amount of money, they won't back off. It will be an excuse to keep cost high. As a once minister of his said, the definition of an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. He says that just about sums up government. He thanks us for the show, and we thank you for your comments.
Yep. Well, he's right. He understands.
Exactly.
I I hadn't previously heard or thought about the idea that even if Obamacare is nullified, that we'll still wind up with extremely high insurance rates.
Yes.
They'll be higher than they were previously.
Absolutely.
I hadn't heard that before. I didn't know about it. It's something I'm going to have to think about a little bit, but it may be true.
They never go back. And usually when they have these types of laws out with the possibility that they could change it down the road, they'll just slap everything and everything on it. I mean, there's no way that they would change where parents have to insure their children until they're 26 years old. That's not going to change. If they defund, and they change the law on Obamacare, that will always be there. There's a lot of parts of this bill that will always remain, and I do believe that will have an impact on our prices of what we pay for health insurance.
Well, the whole thing,
insurance.
You know, one of the things I learned about insurance years ago, they passed a law, and this is probably 20 years ago here in Texas, and they mandated insurance on your automobiles. Right up until then, the insurance was optional. Today, of course, if you don't have insurance, you're going to be ticketed and severely fined. What followed, once they mandated automobile insurance, the price of automobile repairs skyrocketed. It used to be that the guy, if you were a mechanic and you wanted to stay in business, you had to provide mechanical services to repair automobiles at a price that the customers could afford. But once we established insurance and the car was insured, nobody cared what it cost to put a new fender on the car. It didn't matter. It was being paid by the insurance company. If it cost $100, fine. If it cost $1,000, fine. Who cares? The insurance company was paying. And the result was the automobile mechanics instantly picked up on the opportunity to raise prices. And that's exactly what's happened. It used to be you could get your cars fixed pretty reasonably. Today, they are extraordinarily expensive. And it's because the real result of insurance on your automobile has been a subsidy for the people who repair automobiles. You think you're being protected. In fact, you're being bled. All of us are. The difference is if I have an accident with my car and I need a new fender and it costs $1,000, guess what? I'm not paying $1,000. You folks are. It's coming out of your pockets, just as if one of you has one of these problems. I help to pay for the repair of the fender on your automobile, and no one pays much attention. And the net result is the people that benefit from the insurance aren't the insured, but the people that provide the repairs. Something similar is probably true relative to medicine.
You could say the same thing about the people who own the car and the people who have the health insurance. You can have a fender bender and it'll cost you $1,000, but why won't you pay that out of your pocket? If you're perfectly capable of. No, they'll put it through the insurance. I mean, I've seen people, I worked in insurance for many, many years. And and I always will bring in my family as an example. You know, you can have a little dent, but they don't want you to pay it out of your pocket. They want to take it to the insurance company, not only to repair the little dent, but to repair the whole bumper when it doesn't need to be repaired just because of that little dent. So everybody is in it together.
Yeah,
everybody thinks they're getting something for nothing.
That's exactly right.
And
that
the
right.
People who pay are the ones who do everything right by the book. I have high deductibles, you know, even health insurance. You go to the doctor, you should pay for the visit. If it costs you $50, you should pay $50. And if you don't have $50, you don't go.
And conversely, if all you can afford is $10 instead of $50 for the visit, then the doctors, the people who want to be doctors, not the people who want to play golf every Wednesday and became doctors so they could have at least one day a week to play golf, but the people who actually want to work in the field of medicine, they should be working at a rate you can afford. They're going to have a $10 visit fee for their visits rather than $50 or $100 or whatever. They're going to have to reflect, their prices are going to have to reflect what the public can afford rather than what the insurance companies can afford. And when I say the insurance companies, I really mean the public, but the difference is if I go to the doctor for a $50 visit and that visit is charged off to an insurance program, I'm not paying the $50, but all of you people are. You're just paying a fraction of a cent. I got a fraction of a cent out of Melody, and a fraction of a cent out of the guy who sent the email that we were just reading from, and a fraction of a cent out of everyone who's listening to the program. You are all paying for my visit. And because it's only a fraction of a cent, nobody notices. Nobody cares. It's not a battle we fight. We don't fight about those prices when they're coming at us. They've increased the insurance an extra, you know, tenth of a cent because Al went to the doctor. So your insurance went up a tenth of a percent. Nobody's going to fight that because it's a tenth of a percent hitting everybody, though. That's the problem. And we are collectively impoverished, and in the end, the insurance subsidizes the industry rather than assists the people who have the problem. It's part of this notion that we're going to talk about probably now, probably in the third quarter, third segment of the program. I don't necessarily want to get started on it yet, but this idea of you've got to have enough brains and intelligence to look at things objectively, and you cannot simply respond like a largemouth bass to every free worm that floats by. Because what the government's doing is they are just fishing. They put a hook in the worm. They say, look, here's a nice fat worm, and it's all for you. We're here to help you. We're here to give you fat worms. And the American people are saying, oh, boy, give me that fat worm. I want the fat worm. And there's a hook in it. You don't understand that we're being caught by this stuff, and we have to be more aware. We have to be more responsible. We have to be automatically suspicious. Anytime anyone offers you a free lunch, you need to watch out. All right? As soon as you get that free lunch, folks, as soon as that comes up, guess what? You need to be careful. It may be that your friends will invite you out for free lunch. Yeah, I get that. That's fine. But when you see an institution offering a free lunch, that's not a free lunch. That's bait. Understand? You need to be careful.
And they've been doing it for such a long time. Sure. With the creation of television. I mean, we've been conditioned, and here we are today. And all those years of conditioning and all of those of floating a carrot in front of us, you know, us always, it's human nature to always, you know, want something. And they know the human psyche, and they know that they can condition, and they know how to do it. And it's all for the buck. It's all for power. And it's very difficult to say no. But here we are today, so things are not going to change. They're going to strip every penny that you have.
And given the opportunity.
Given the opportunity, and mm-hmm. I think the only way, yes, the only way, become your own independent bank. Get out of their system. And that's what it's all about. Do you want to play in their system, where I believe is so corrupt and evil? It's
you
a
take
choice.
Your chances. I mean, you assume the risk. As we've talked, you know, you're going to take personal responsibility for this. If you want to play in that particular system, you're welcome to do it. And it's not easy to escape. I understand that. But you can minimize your exposure. If you want to just dive in and say, come on in, the water's fine, guess what? There's going to be sharks in the water before you're done, and they're the ones that are keeping the water at a comfortable temperature. They're saying, you know, if we keep this water at a nice temperature, a bunch of people are going to dive into the pool, and then we can have our lunch. Then they get their lunch, and you folks are going to be the lunch if you're not careful. You've got to watch what you're doing, and it becomes, here's a short segment. J.P. Morgan sells short-term treasury holdings. Banking giant doesn't want to be holding government bonds if the U.S. defaults. J.P. Morgan Chase says it has sold all of its exposure to short-term U.S. government debt out of its money market funds, following a similar move by other money market mutual fund managers. All right, they're dumping their short-term U.S. bonds over the course of the next couple of months. They're dumping them, sold them out. It's J.P. Morgan understands the difference between the worm and the hook. They understand that there's a certain amount of liability that there may be a default. They understand that the price of these bonds may diminish significantly just in the next couple of months. Therefore, they're unloading. Well, you got to go, you know, J.P. Morgan may be corrupt, but they're not crazy. It's just another one of those things. They get it. They except get me away from that hook. This is a nice juicy worm, but it's got a hook in it. I want to get rid of it. They're getting rid of those bonds. It's just another evidence that we are in dangerous, unstable times. Maybe we default. Maybe we don't default. Nobody knows. But the question is, we are close to something that could be catastrophic. I'm Alfred, and you have to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself. Government won't be able to. I can't. Melody can't. Government can't. You must protect yourself. This is Financial Survival. Myself, Al, and Melody will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody? How about stupid is as stupid does?
I got a quick question.
Go ahead.
This came in from Richard. You want to know if you heard anything about the whistleblower Karen Hoods, H-U-D-E-S, says there is 170,000 tons of gold in Hawaii. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't heard about that. I don't doubt that Karen Hughes is for real. I've seen other email that wonder whether she's credible or not. I think she is. I haven't heard that particular report. You know, one of the interesting things, Hawaii is an interesting place. Never been there myself, but it's an interesting place from this regard. I saw a map of the homeland that was presented by, I believe it was Nancy Pelosi, maybe it was Reid, maybe it was Senator Reid, I don't remember, but they held it up about 2 months ago. And the homeland, the map, they were talking about where they've had terrorist incidents, and they were used. This was being used to justify the spying by the National Security Agency. And they held up this map of the homeland, and the homeland included Mexico, the United States, Canada, and apparently some and maybe all of the Central American nations down as far as Panama. It wasn't clear from where the map was, the way you could see it. You couldn't discern if it included Panama, but at least some of the Central American nations south of Mexico. So the homeland, as in homeland security, is not the United States. It's all of North America. Now the question becomes, is Hawaii part of the homeland? And this particular map did not include Hawaii. You know, if you see a map of the United States, you will see the continental United States, and they'll have Alaska perhaps as a separate entity, and they'll have Hawaii sitting out there in the ocean someplace. They will identify all of it as part of the United States. The homeland may not include Hawaii. And I've heard that President Obama said that when he retires, he's going to retire to Hawaii. And I wonder, is it possible that Hawaii is one of these little enclaves where, for whatever reason, you get out from under Homeland Security? I don't know if it's true or false. It may be that Homeland Security is all over Hawaii. I'd expect that they are, but still it struck me as strange. So it just rang my bell. It comes back to mind when the comment on the email, have we heard about Karen Hudis and the allegations that there are 170. Did he say 170 tons?
170,000.
No, it can't be 170,000.
You know, since the Yahoo changed,
there's only allegedly 8,000. There's only alleged 8,200 tons in the Federal Reserve. I don't believe there's 170,000 tons.
Maybe he said, let me see if I can bring it back.
170 tons.
Let me see
maybe,
if I can bring it
maybe
back.
Maybe even 1,700 not tons. Yeah. Maybe. 170 tons, probably. 170,000 tons. No, I don't believe that. Yeah. That one, we'll have to watch that for a while.
And he says, does the Fed have to unload the treasuries and mortgages? Or why does the Fed have to unload the treasuries and mortgages?
I don't know that they are ever going to unload them.
No,
I don't think they will.
They're
toxic. Those are what they called toxic debt instruments. Toxic assets was the term they used back a couple of years ago. And what they mean by that is they aren't worth the paper they're printed on, or certainly they're not worth their face value. Right? I won't say they're not worth the paper they're printed on. They are buying them. They're paying for them with fiat money in order to maintain the illusion that a United States bond or one of these bonds backed by mortgages, it might say $1 million in the upper right-hand corner. All right? Well, the Federal Reserve is therefore paying $1 million. And this establishes that they are worth $1 million because it's presumed that the Federal Reserve is part of the free market. But the truth of the matter is that if we left those bonds out to be sold in a true free market, these bonds that are marked $1 million in the upper right-hand corner, you might be lucky to get $250,000 for them. They don't want that information to be seen. They don't want evidence of the true value of these paper debt instruments to be created by free markets. Therefore, they're siphoning off some of these toxic assets in order to maintain the illusion that they're not toxic. If anybody's willing to pay $1 million for a $1 million bond, then I guess it's still worth $1 million. But right now, the only people that are willing to pay $1 million for 80% of those bonds is the Federal Reserve, who can spin money out of thin air. You know, if I read a checkbook and I wasn't concerned about writing NSF checks, I could pay $1 million for one of those bonds. What do I care? I'm just spinning the money out of thin air. All I got to do is sign my name, write $1 million on the check, and if nobody's ever going to cash it and I'm not going to be held accountable for it, I can pay $1 million. I can pay $10 million. What the heck? Let's be generous. I'll pay $100 million for a $1 million bond. What do you say? All it costs me is a little ink and paper. What's it cost the Federal Reserve? The same argument is there, and that's what's really going on. So it is more evidence of the illusion, more evidence of the irrational world we're living in, more evidence that we are living in a house of cards. And sooner or later, these cards, somebody's going to hit the right call, and we're going to have a problem. The whole thing's going down. We've got a caller, Les, from Michigan. Are you there, Les?
Yeah, Al. Say, I got a question. I was wondering, did you get to review that letter that Melody got from her insurance company about her health care insurance plan being dropped?
Yep.
Because
we drafted
pretty much just I got one pretty much just like that, and I was going to use some of your comments and send them to my health insurance company.
Well, if you understand, I'm not a licensed attorney, and I can't give legal advice to one thing or another, but I made some suggestions to Melody, and these suggestions were based on just the language in the notice. And I understand something that appears to be true. Every time anyone sends you a notice, the law is that the notice need not contain a statement of all relevant facts and all relevant law. That's the law, so far as I'm able to understand. Instead, the notice must only be sufficient to put you on inquiry. This is equivalent to me calling you, Les, and saying, Les, you owe me $100. Well, you can say, Al, the heck I do. I'm not paying you a dime. Or you could just go silence. I'm not going to listen to that idiot. I don't owe him $100. I won't even say anything. In either case, you're going to be liable. If you make statements or go silent, it is presumed you have sufficient notice. When you're dealing with the government, procedural due process is one of the few things they'll guarantee. And that consists of notice, number one, and opportunity to be heard, number two. The opportunity to be heard is the hearing where you will be found guilty if you're being charged by the government. You will be found guilty about 98% of the time. In my opinion, you don't want the opportunity to be heard. In my opinion, the way you avoid that opportunity to be heard, which is really an opportunity to be sentenced, fined, or convicted, the way you avoid it is by controlling the notice that starts this whole thing. The notice creates your right of inquiry. If you make a statement in response to the notice, it's presumed you have sufficient notice, they can take you to the opportunity to be heard, or you'll be found guilty 98% of the time. If you go silent in response to the notice, they will presume you have sufficient notice, and they will take you to the opportunity to be heard, where you'll be found guilty 98% of the time. But if you ask questions, their notice creates your right of inquiry. Your right of inquiry creates their duty to respond. They have to answer your questions. If they don't answer your questions, you don't have sufficient notice. If you don't have sufficient notice, you've been denied procedural due process. And then they can't proceed to the opportunity to be heard where you'll be found guilty 98% of the time. Now, I've tried this. This is a theory that I didn't even fully understand. I've done this on two occasions with the IRS successfully, although the first time I just kind of stumbled into it. That goes back to 1991. And I didn't fully understand what I was doing at the time. But I did it again. Dallas Bar Association tried to charge me with unauthorized practice of law. Back about 2000. And I responded with 11 pages of questions. And they just wrote back and they said, "We don't have time to fence with you, Mr. Addisk. We've sent the complaint down to the state bar headquarters. They can do whatever they want with it. And if you have any more questions, don't hesitate to ask." I asked 11 pages of questions. They wouldn't answer one of them. But they close out, "If you have any more questions, don't hesitate to ask." I never heard from them again. The IRS, I dealt with them another time about 2008. I sent them questions. They disappeared. I've got a friend who, following the same strategy, the IRS came after them. He responded with questions, just four. I dealt with the IRS. I sent him, I don't remember, I might have had 100 questions. He sent him four questions. It was enough to put them off. And they tried to bamboozle him for probably about 2 years, kept sending him letters. He'd respond with questions. Send him a letter, more questions. Finally, they just disappeared. He hasn't heard from them now in a couple of years. Point I'm getting to, Les, is that our response to what I was suggesting to Melody, and she does as she likes on this, but I drafted a series of questions in response to that insurance company notice. And that's what it says, notice of cancellation. And incidentally, down at the bottom, it says if you have any questions, contact your agent or the insurance company. They give you a toll-free number you can call. Now, the difference, they're admitting that you have a right to ask questions. They're telling you on the document, you have a right to ask questions, but they want you to ask by phone. Yes, by phone, you are not creating admissible evidence. I ask by registered mail. I don't talk to anybody on the phone about posing questions. I put my questions in the mail, and I send them by registered mail, and I create admissible evidence. And I know some good questions. You understand that, Les? I've been looking at this for a while, and I can ask questions that just yes or no. They're simple. Yes or no. I don't leave it open. It's not fill in the blank person. I understand some questions that they don't want to answer. And if you can if they can't answer or they won't answer, guess what? Say goodbye. That appears to be. Now, again, I'm telling you, you cannot rely on this just because I say so. And the fact that it's worked in a few other people is not evidence. It's not proof that this strategy will work for everyone. All right? But it has worked. And one other good thing about it, Les, it doesn't make things worse. You can try a bunch of different strategies, and you can make things worse. All I'm doing is asking questions. That's all I'm doing. I do not create additional liability for myself when I pose questions. I might if I make statements. I might if I go silent. Asking questions, no additional liability.
Les, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to explain, but do you have any pre-existing conditions?
Yeah, I guess. They're not bothering me or anything right now, but I guess they would consider them a pre-existing condition.
Yeah. See, I think it is my personal opinion that a lot of these insurance companies are unloading a lot of their pre-existing policies onto the government. Yep.
I've had this policy for over 10, 15 years, and they've been trying to kind of get me out of it because my deductible's lower and then coverage is better than anything you can buy now at a more expensive price.
Yep.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get they're telling me my plan doesn't meet the requirements of the new Obama, you know, thing. And now they want to shift me from, well, I got like a $1,000 deductible now. Now it looks like they want to shift me to a $7,500 deductible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're going to be on the government insurance.
Yeah.
Because all these other companies, because you have a pre-existing, won't take you. Because they didn't make the insurance companies change to be compliant.
No, it's all written by
them. I've got a copy of part of the notices right here in my hand. It says this notice is to inform you that your current certificate with the insurance company is not fully compliant with the new health care reform laws.
Yep,
what health care reform laws are they talking about? It doesn't say Obamacare. It doesn't say the Affordable Care Act. It says it's not compliant with new health care reform laws. This is one of my questions. What laws are we talking about? And it goes on and says, therefore, now that kind of ambiguity, that uncertain imprecision, as soon as you see it, you know there's something wrong. All right? They should have. This was due to Obamacare. They should have said Obamacare. And it goes on, therefore, it's necessary for the insurance company to cancel its in-force blocks of individually underwritten major medical insurance certificates. This includes your certificate. Look, I want to know what the law is. I want to see it. I want them to provide it to me, and I want to see the part that says, they say it's necessary. Is it mandatory? I want to know if it's mandatory. There's all kinds. I think I came up with 52 questions out of these two sentences. Right? You can tear these things apart where all of a sudden you can ask questions that are difficult to answer.
What were you going to say, Les?
Does Melody or you have those good questions posted on your website or anything like that?
No. But I'll tell you what, if you wanted to send an email to me or to Melody, I'll see that you get a copy of them. They'll be sanitized where it doesn't reflect Melody's insurance company or anything about Melody per se. But if you can get an email to me, I'll see that you get a copy. And you make of them as you will. You use them. I'm not recommending you use them. I'm just saying you can consider them. And if you choose to use them, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay, too. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank you for your call, Les. I want to thank all you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Les from Michigan. Bye-bye.
There never seems to be a single penny left for me. Bless you, back.
money, money, money.